This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Idalia, the hurricane's name lashing Florida, then weakening and turning to fury on Georgia and the Carolinas. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you're doing well wherever you are listening to this show. So here's what happened when it comes to that hurricane turned tropical storm. The first thing is on Wednesday, it lost some wind intensity over land, but still was a really dangerous storm as it was racing across the rest of the southeast after wreaking havoc on parts of Florida. And even though it's expected, you never know how it's going to come in. And boy, when it made landfall in a couple of different places, Perry, Florida, Cat 3, the hurricane was, moved all over town. You could see the incredible debris flying through the air, and even a porta potty just went flying across the street. I think that went viral, but to kind of prove the point of, okay, this is pretty strong and we can see it. You had the storm surge that pounded on Wednesday morning, early in the morning, and it flooded areas like Bayshore Drive, which is the area that brings you right into Tampa, where you see, oh, there's the city, and it's beautiful. You look to your right, and you see the entry into the Gulf, and you just water was flying over the seawall. You had homes that were on the Gulf Coast that were flooded, even though they sandbagged, because you had storm surge that was 4 to 6 to 7 in some cases higher than what you could account for. So the Big Bend area, as it is called, is less populated than, for example, what happened with Ian when it hit Fort Myers Beach. That's the good news. And the amount of people that lived within the distance of Idalia's landfall is so much smaller than Ian, about 38,000 people, just to give you the idea, paint that picture in your head, compared to the 1 million that were within 30 miles of Ian's landfall. Still a lot of damage, up to maybe $20 billion damage and economic loss from Hurricane Idalia in the southeastern part of the U.S., right? And there's all kinds of things that you can see. I think the thing that gives you goosebumps, there's water damage, all of that. There were water rescues, over 100 of them, up and down the Gulf Coast in Florida again. And it was high tide. High tide came in and circled back around, and that added insult to injury, and that's part of the problem of why there was that surge. And lots of rain, and I was in the middle of it, so I got lucky. I was kind of in a tiny little oasis surrounded by the mayhem and had some of it. So lots of debris, some flying things, terrible surges of wind, and power outages, but not a sustained power outage, so I also got lucky there, as some of my neighbors did as well, and others not quite so good. Some of them found themselves in kayaks just down the street from me in the middle of the street. So there's a video that's out there of a place called Goose Creek, South Carolina, and you see a car being flipped by what the National Weather Service said was a weak tornado that touched down in a heavy rain band from the hurricane. And it was like the movie Twister, watching this car fly around. And supposedly the person was okay afterwards, which that is surprising that they weren't hurt and people around them weren't hurt, but that's the good news about that. So the tropical storm is what it became. It spun over southeastern Georgia, about 40 miles west of Savannah, and went into the Carolinas. There was a lot of flooding there. In Charleston, there was a lot of flooding. There certainly were people that were hit in different ways by this tropical storm. There were definitely power outages. Florida and Georgia really got hit the worst. 440,000 electric customers found their power going out. In some cases, it didn't return till later in the day. And some people don't have power back just yet. Countless trees blown over, snapped in half. I saw a lot of that near me. Kind of an interesting thing. Life goes on, right? I had to walk the poor dog. There was a break in the rain after all this was passing through. And doop-de-doo, he just jumped over the stuff in the path. No big deal. Sniffs a little, keeps walking those 2 or 3 miles, it was almost 3 miles, and he just jumps over the debris. Not a big deal. So life goes on, people helped other people pick up, and now it's just going to be about insurance again, which is so awful in the state of Florida, because now you've got other people that are going to make claims, and places were absolutely pummeled. A place I was surprised about, worth mentioning here, it's a Greek town. It's really cool. You should put it on your radar if you're ever in the Gulf Coast area. It's called Tarpon Springs, and I had just been down there a couple weeks ago. It has a cool main street with all these fisheries and that kind of thing. They go out for sponge divers used to go out there, and they have sponge boats and that still do go out and get those sponges. And at one point, pretty much in the morning, the boats, the water was so high, the boats were just even with the street. And people were walking in the streets, and they were, it was up to their waist. It was pretty bad. So flights were canceled. 1,000 flights were canceled in the U.S. as that hurricane now slash tropical storm went across the southeast, and various airports opened eventually. Tampa, for example, closed for a day and a half. And even in Savannah, they felt themselves doing the same thing in Charleston. So it definitely had some impact. There's no question about that. The other thing people are talking about is Mitch McConnell, who once again freezes. He's asked a question, ironically, about whether or not he was running for re-election, and he couldn't answer it. He went silent for about 19 seconds or 20 seconds or so, and he had that happen where, you know, the reporter was asked the question, then the aide asked him, did you hear the question, Senator? And he eventually re-engaged. He had to have the question repeated to him. He apparently said, reporters were told, that he felt momentarily lightheaded, a spokesperson said, and paused during the press conference, and that's why. But he feels fine. He's going to consult a doctor before his next event as a prudential measure is what was released, but he froze. I mean, you could see it in his face, and it's very, to me, it's very scary and worrisome. And what will ultimately, you know, he do is his health is the most important thing, but he definitely froze once again. And of course, what's released right away is the National Republican Senatorial Committee Chair, Steve Daines, said he spoke to McConnell and was glad to hear he sounds like himself and is feeling fine, because there is concern about that and what is out there. I think it's about his health, though, more than politics or anything else that you could possibly imagine. Biggest crowd for a women's sporting event ever, part of the Man Cave. You won't believe what the sporting event was. Next.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
The NFL, because you've got cuts that have happened, and that's a rough day, right? Somebody thinks they did great, and they might have caught the attention of the head coach and the defensive coordinators or the offensive people, the rest of the offensive people, whatever it is. But this is the sad part of it, right? It's the cut day. So we'll talk about that in a second. But Nebraska volleyball set a women's mark record for attendance. And this is at Cornhusker Stadium, the largest crowd ever to witness a women's sport event. Memorial Stadium. 92,003 fans watched the five-time NCAA champion Nebraska Huskers volleyball team beat Omaha 3-0. So how about that? The biggest crowd ever. It was paid attendance, too. It was a doubleheader. Wayne State beat Nebraska Kearney in a Division II exhibition before the Huskers and the Mavericks played. They were originally priced at $25 for adults, $5 for high school students, but tickets reached up to $400 on the secondary market. If you're wondering about, you're thinking in your head, oh, what about the World Cup between the U.S. and China at the Rose Bowl, right, in the late 90s? That was a huge crowd, 90,185. But this takes the cake. This is the biggest one, period, ever. I think it's pretty cool. Congratulations to them for that event, pulling that off and, you know, making it happen, selling those tickets, getting the people out there and all of that. Pretty good stuff. So, teams finalized their rosters. They had to trim down to 53 men. That's what the cuts are for the 32 teams. Like I said, it's rough for some of the notables, especially. So, Arizona Cardinals cut people listening in Arizona, you probably know this, veteran quarterback Colt McCoy. The Texans cut a veteran, too. Christian Kirksey was cut. Then there was the deal that sent quarterback Trey Lance to the Cowboys on Friday night as they were looking to make room on their roster, for him. So some will be re-signed to a practice squad, but all those decisions will be made, ultimately, right? Cole Beasley, the Giants didn't have Cole Beasley, Jameson Crowder to make, or any of that off of the 53-man roster. They looked at what they have to cut, though, and there were some moves that had to be made, just like I said, every other team. And, there's just, you see some of it, and maybe it's because I've been to so many of these camps, and you get to know some of these really eager players who really feel like they have a chance to make a roster, and then they don't make the roster. The Falcons had a big move to make at tight end. They kept John Fitzpatrick over Parker Hess, who was a pretty much a stalwart as kind of a blocking tight end last year. And they waived Timmy Horn, I'm just giving you examples, defensive tackle, who started 5 games last year. So it's hard because those would have been great people to keep on the deal. I'll give you one more because I know we have a lot of Saints fans listening. What do they do? Having to figure out what they're going to do with a kicker. They said goodbye to a veteran kicker, Will Lutz, and punter Blake Gillikin, and instead in exchange for some rookies. Lou Headley is one of those rookies. And they released a veteran slot corner, Bradley Robbie. And, they kept all 7 of their draft picks. And then they're keeping 36-year-old tight end Jimmy Graham because he had a couple of significant contested catches in the final preseason game. That, even for a veteran, sometimes those preseason games can make all the difference in the world. So we're moving forward and getting ready for the first week in the NFL coming up next week after we get through the holiday. In Major League Baseball, it's getting closer as football starts. We're getting closer to, is it going to be October? Which means it's not just about jack-o'-lanterns and candy. It's about the playoffs and all the things that happen throughout the season. The series that were won in the very beginning can make a very, very big, big difference. And especially when players get hot at the right time, like Philly star Bryce Harper, who hit his 300th career home run going deep on Wednesday against the Los Angeles Angels to become just the 158th player in Major League history to hit that mark. How about that? It put Philly ahead 8-7. However, the Angels rallied for 3 runs in the ninth. It was a 10-8 win for them, but good for Harper. If we look around at some of the other scores that happened on Wednesday, besides the Angels' win over the Phillies and Harper's historic home run in the loss, the White Sox picked up their 53rd over the Orioles 10-5. Significant, I guess, because it's a nice win for them. But the Orioles have 83 wins. They're a hot, hot team. 83-50, enough to certainly put them in the playoffs. The Guardians and the Twinkies played. The Guardians in 10-5-2. They rallied for that win with a 3-run homer in the 10th. That made the difference. The Cardinals picked up their 58th win, beating the Padres 5-4, but they're cycling not in the right direction. 58 wins on the season. These two teams are pretty interesting. The Brewers have 74 wins. The Cubs, 71. Cubs edged out the Brewers 3-2. Cody Bellinger drove in the tie-breaking run with this weird ricocheted infield single in the 8th. The Blue Jays blank the Nationals, 7-0. They pick up their 73rd win. The Astros are trying to pick up where they left off in the postseason. Remember, they won the World Series. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies. So they beat the Red Sox 7-4. The Mariners knocked off the A's 5-4. They're having one of their most successful months in their franchise history. 21 wins with this win over the A's. So they have 76 wins on the season, 76 and 57. The Yankees picked up their 65th. They end their 10-series winless streak and beat the Tigers. So that was significant. Again, 6-2 was the final there. Final in 10, the Rays, boy, they started off the season so hot. Those games make a difference. That's why they have 82 wins, and they picked up another one. It was Josh Lowe, because this was in 10, 3-0, who hit the tie-breaking single in a 3-run 10th inning. Also 10 innings, the Mets beat the Rangers, who have been very hot, 6-5. For the Rangers, they're 75 and 58 on the season at that important time. There is no team as hot as the Braves as far as how many wins. They knock off the Rockies 7-3. They have 87 wins. Yeah, they're definitely in the postseason. The Dodgers picked up their 83rd. They beat the D-backs, 7-0. Freddie Freeman, Jason Hayward hit 2-run jacks in the third inning, and that paid off for them big time. We bounce back to football, and it's interesting because here we are, and we have big games coming up this week. I went over the games the other day. Some significant stories is the Iowa quarterback is questionable against Utah State, Cade McNamara, because he had to leave practice because of a right leg injury. And he's the Michigan transfer project. He's more than a project. He's awesome. He was going to start for Iowa, but he had an awkward fall on a scramble, and that has limited him. And we'll see if he's medically cleared or not. He started for Michigan during the team's Big Ten championship season in 2021. He's going to be great for Iowa. So fingers crossed he gets healthy and he's back in the mix. Closing the door to the man cave coming up next. Questioning religion and the formality of religion and some other things. Tony Antibellis joins us on the flip side.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Hurricane Idalia is impacting Georgia. The National Hurricane Center says the storm will continue to move across the southeastern Georgia area through the evening. Idalia made landfall this morning as a Category 3, the strongest hurricane to hit Florida's Big Bend area in 125 years. Airports across Tampa Bay are planning to open.
Departing flights and other normal services will start back up tomorrow. Unions are showing strong support across the board. Ryan Daniels has more.
Gallup polls found 71% support for unions last year. New data out this week shows over two-thirds of Americans still support organized labor. Numbers from the AFL-CIO show support is especially strong among younger Americans.
Today is the two-year anniversary of the last U.S. military flight leaving Afghanistan as the Taliban took over. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guide with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Question. Have you thought about diversity when it comes to religion? Tony Antonellis has a really fascinating book. It's For the Love of God, An Approach to Peace, Coexistence, Community, and Truth. And he has such an interesting background, too, and we'll talk about that. He finished his high school. He was a tractor-trailer driver, a chef. He worked for a few years for Polaroid. Then he went to college where he majored in theology and later in social work. He graduates. And he gets a master's. He studies at Bridgewater State University. And for 20 years, he worked with people with developmental disabilities and mental illness. We talk so much about that now. So, wow. And he's a father. He says his greatest treasure is his family. And it's that question that I said at the beginning that I think is so fascinating and his book really addresses. Tony, thanks for coming on Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight.
Well, thank you, Kate, for the invite.
So tell me the road to the book. What made you write this book?
Well, I was raised Roman Catholic. Half of my childhood years in school were spent in Catholic day schools and also 3 years in Catholic boarding schools. I enjoyed the religious involvement with my life, and of course, as a youngster, I was had a good sense of awe of my Creator. And as I got older, I had acquired more and more questions and became somewhat skeptical initially. And as I got to meet people from other religions, other Christian religions and Judaism as well. I began to ask a lot of questions. And initially, I couldn't resolve the questions that I had. It was somewhat perplexing. And then one day, probably maybe 20 years or more ago, I acquired a book written by a Catholic priest by the name of Hans Kung. Hans Kung was a young priest who was involved with the Second Vatican Council, brilliant scholar, author of 75 books at least, acquired probably a dozen or more doctorate's degrees, honorary, from various theological institutions around the world for his clarity of mind. And as I got more familiar with his writings, I realized that I wasn't the only one that had this existential anxiety. And so for the last, couple decades, I've been asking myself questions. And I guess of late, I kind of recently came to the conclusion that it's really impossible to live a full life without some kind of religion. But it's not so much about being this religion or that religion, but it's about being intellectually honest with yourself and being open-minded and what I like to refer to as humble orthodoxy, meaning I believe this, but I'm not 100% certain that I'm correct, so I keep an open mind. So if I, as a Christian, encounter a Muslim or a Buddhist who has different ideas, then I want to entertain those ideas and see what measure of truth these people have to offer. In that way, we can share a common faith, even though we're not all the same. And it's that way, I mean, in life in general. I mean, not everybody is politically the same point of view. Not everybody is, has the same philosophies on diet or this or that. And it's important that we can respect one another and work together. And that's what my book is about. And actually, after I read the book, I realized that there was really more to say about it, so I'm working on a subsequent one.
I love that. We'll talk about that in a second, but I like how you say keep an open mind, right? Humble,
yeah.
Orthodoxy, that's the hashtag. You talk about old religions, ancient religions, where there was so much superstition, and it wasn't quite flushed out or developed, as you talk about. But you say that doesn't mean it's evil. You talk about that it just means that they were also more in tune with nature, just like you feel indigenous people are today, correct?
That's correct. One of the first things that really hit me really strongly, my sister, who recently passed away, she was 90 years old. She was a lot older than me. But she was a member of a Baptist church locally. And she invited my mom and myself to her church one Sunday to hear Jews for Jesus, who were a guest speaker there. And I got to meet this gentleman. His name was Rich Nichols. He was the rabbi overseeing Ruach Israel, which at that time I think was meeting in Newton, Massachusetts. And I was absolutely fascinated by the things he had to say. First of all, he wasn't really a Christian like most Christians are. He was a Jew. He celebrated the Sabbath on Friday night. They had a Sabbath service on Saturday. On Sundays, to honor the Christian aspect of his faith, they would get together for study and fellowship and things. So my mother, myself, my niece, my sister, we all started participating in this Jews for Jesus services. And years later, when I took a course at Harvard, I started going to the Harvard Hillel, where I met many Jewish friends and became friends with the modern Orthodox rabbi, Avi Weinstein, a brilliant man who had been trained in yeshiva in Israel. And he asked me this $56,000 question, Tony, what interested you in Jesus, in Judaism? And I said, Jews for Jesus. And he looked at me with strange look. And one of the elders of the synagogue looked at him and he said, I never thought of it that way. In other words, a lot of Jews from mainstream Judaism see Jews for Jesus as yet another ploy to pull Jews out of the synagogue and bring them to church, right? But in my case, it took me out of the church, brought me to the synagogue. On another day, also at Harvard Hillel, a young undergraduate came into the study where the rabbi was with a number of us, and he said, Avi, is Jesus the Messiah? And I said, Lord, thank you for letting me be here to hear this. Right? Now, this is an Orthodox rabbi, right? And this is what he says to him. He says, we don't know. He could be. He said, but we need to be faithful Jews in the meantime. I said, that's terrific.
Yeah, and this is what your book talks about. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, Tony?
I hope my prayer is that all of us, with our diversities of nationality, of race, of religion, that we would come to realize that the Creator, whoever the Creator may be, desired to make us as we are, and that we should learn to live with one another in peace. And that just as one of my Jewish friends pointed out, the first Jew, Abraham, was a convert to Judaism, a convert from paganism. So virtually all Jews are converts from paganism. Judaism did not evolve full-blown as it is today. I mean, it started being somewhat polytheistic with ethical roots, and it developed over time. I think what a lot of people fail to realize is that Jesus of Nazareth had more in common with the Pharisee Hillel than he did with the Essenes or, the early church fathers. That's why we have to look at our religious roots and see them for what they are. For example, God did not write the Bible, nor did he write the Quran. The Quran was written by pious individuals who wanted to share their faith and the things that were on their heart. So God was the inspiration for the writing, but he wasn't the author. That's why when we look at these books, we need to respect them for what they are and not make them out to be more than they are.
So well said. We have 1 minute left. So next book is how can we live better, something like that. How can we make life better? And you delve into politics, right?
Yes. What I try to do is point out that theology is an essential part of everybody's life, whether one is an atheist or not, because you have to have a philosophy to live by, and that philosophy defines us and the way we live. So we need to look at politics, and we need to look at business and how we conduct our lives. In other words, we don't want to live by greed, nor do we want to live by violence and totalitarianism. So one of the things I do in the book, which is not the major point, but I compare the Chinese Communist Party to the Roman Catholic Church. If Hans Kung was still alive, I think he would love it. because he once conveyed the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, formerly known as the Inquisition, he compared them to the KGB.
you got to love it. That's going to be a good one, too. But pick this book up, For the Love of God, An Approach to Peace, Coexistence, Community, and Truth. Tony Antonellis, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you and stay well.
Still not a sound, not a bird outside. Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
She's already published 4 books, got another one on the way. Claire Conway is a prolific writer, and I love her genre and style. She joins us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Claire, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So I wanted to start with book one, Surrender, obviously, and where it all starts. So first of all, let's talk about how writing came to you and how you discovered these characters like Marlene Peterson and Edric and the things that happened throughout the books.
Okay. To start with, I always wanted to write a book. I was an English teacher for quite a while, and just reading and writing always was something that was really interesting to me, and being able to fall into characters and such. And then a great tragedy struck, and I had to decide where I was going to go from there. And I thought, well, you don't live forever, and let's do those things that you want to do. And so I put my mind to it and started writing and came up with this idea of Andriker, which is a world that is everything. There's nothing that isn't there. Creatures and places and gods and etc. And then I had to tell a story about it. And Marlene, simple human girl, that ends up being not so simple, meets Edric, and he's an immortal man. And they have quite a adventurous romance to get to where they end up falling in love and creating the basis of the rest of the books that I have.
Wow. So as you flesh out the storylines, what inspired you?
The biggest thing that inspired me was that I just wanted to rise above my own issues and just find a place that I had a purpose. And so I let these characters combat all kinds of enormous obstacles so that they could rise above and have their purpose.
Nice. And it's so interesting in developing an immortal man. Well, you know, I think of sitting there and coming up with these characteristics and figuring out what is the seduction like and what is Edric like and what is Edric like?
Oh, Edric is like the perfect man that every woman wants. He's handsome and he's strong and he's clever and he has just that feeling around him that he knows what he wants and where he's going, and he wants to sweep you up and take you with him and just be everything to you.
Boy, that sounds good to me, probably to many of the listeners too. And again, we're speaking with Claire Conway. And I mentioned you have these other books, and what I love about your books too, it's so simple, the title, like Surrender, and it really is about that. When you get to the end of the book, you realize, yeah, that's weaved in throughout this. And your second book is Reclaim. Tell us about that.
Reclaim is a book about Marlene's aunt. Her name's Fiona, and she is a sorceress and has a lot of issues that she has to overcome. She tries her hardest from the time that she's 18 and on to protect her family from great evils, and it's a rough road for her, but she does. And she struggles through bad relationships and ends up in a terrific relationship with the man that she is destined to be with.
Nice. And so that's that happy ending. And you go from, you know, we started off with book one, Surrender, and all those feelings and putting that in there, then Reclaim, and then you get to Capture, and give us a glimpse of Capture.
Capture takes on, we're dealing with the same characters that we've been developing ever since the beginning, and this one deals with Spencer, who is Edric's right-hand man, and his trials through life, and meets with Christy, who happens to be a very close friend, almost daughter-like to Marlene, and they end up conquering all kinds of trials and tribulations on their own to... Again, another happy ending. I'm all for the happy ending.
Me too. And that's what I like about the book. I mean, because you take us in that direction where, yes, thank you, at the end, we have that conclusion. We come, you know, we have that feeling when we leave it. And then you wrote Forbidden. And give us, again, you can get all these wonderful books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And once you read Surrender, which we started with, and that was really our purpose as you're launching into this, you know, you've got the road to follow. So tell us about Forbidden.
Forbidden is one of my favorites. It's takes me back to my high school teaching days with Romeo and Juliet and Forbidden Love. The main character in this one is David, who's Marlene's son. He has to come into his own and his own immortality, and his trials and tribulations with his forbidden love, Jillian, who is this day-walking vampire, destined to be queen of her people, but she doesn't want to be. And their love is forbidden, and they have to overcome that if they're going to be together.
Ooh, if they're going to be together. And now, of course, because I said you were a prolific writer, these characters really catch you. You're working on another one. Do you feel like the story comes to you and it kind of pours out of you, or the characters take you in their direction? How's that process?
It's a little bit of both. I have, I start out with where I want to go next, and I kind of know where I want it to end. And actually, when I'm writing it, my characters take turns and things that I don't expect. And, I go down a different road, and, it all kind of comes to me based on who my characters are, little bits of me, and where they're going with their journey. So I don't have it all mapped out in the beginning. The next one coming up is story of Cassius. He is a friend of the family, and he is probably the oldest character in the book, going way back to thousands and thousands of years BC when he was created. And he's a very special character, one of four ever born. But no one really knows of his life. And so it's all coming out in this book.
Ooh, I like that too. I keep saying that, but that's the best word to describe it. There's a lot of wows weaved into this. So for people listening to our conversation, or people who have actually read your books too, which there you have certainly have a lot of fans, what do you hope they take away from the books, like surrender?
All in all, I think the whole reason I wrote them, and what I want, what I'd like to have people take away from it too, is being able to absorb yourself in something that's not real when life is kind of kicking you, and just learn and feel that, yeah, there's lots of obstacles out there, but, you know, inside of you, you have what it takes to overcome and rise above and beat those things and become the person that you want to be.
Ooh, I like that. Perfect place to end this. Just a great series of books. It'll take you on the journey, like I said, in the very beginning. Surrender, you start there and go all the way through, and we can't wait for the next one. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I've mentioned this, wherever great books are sold. Claire Conway, we wish you the best, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
So interesting to talk to Claire Conway and her process, you know, the characters and the development of it, and starting with Surrender and all the way through. As I mentioned then, books are very, very, very interesting. So thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show, or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.